This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Karen, hi.
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 You pointed at me to talk first tonight.
I wanted you to do the... I did it last time, trying to make a start.
Oh, hey, this... Oh, fuck, I gotta turn my phone off.
Sorry.
Oh, hey, this is... Hello? Who's this? Show business?
It's a telemarketer. Do you mind if I take this?
Can I take... Can I talk about some products with this person?
Yeah. I give them all my social security number and everything over the podcast.
Just record it all.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder. This is basically what the podcast is.
Yes. It's going to be this for another 2¾ hours.
Yep.
Enjoy.
Yeah. There you go.
Or goodbye.
Forever.
Can I start out real quick? Just by plugging, just so the skippers who skip to the stories don't miss this.
Don't miss this.
We have new motherfucking shirts.
Yes, and they're good.
They're good, right?
I'm really...
Yes.
There's something... Well, to me, there when you sent me that picture, there's something very visceral about the original logo as a shirt.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel official.
It's so official, and I can't wait to see someone. I'm still waiting to run into someone in the wild, like someone I don't know, wearing one of our old shirts.
Well, that just happened to me.
Shut up.
Walking into your apartment, and Steven has our shirt on.
Yeah, yeah.
I was dressed appropriately.
He was. Yes, we appreciate it. We don't let anyone in our house unless they're wearing mine or Vince's podcast shirt.
That's smart.
Uh-huh.
As a couple, that's a good decision.
We're real dicks.
Yeah.
But teespring.com/myfavoritemurder. It's like a run. It's going. You can buy it till the 23rd, and that's when they get sent out.
The 23rd of August.
Of August.
Okay.
Thank you. So, and then if that goes well, we'll just extend it and then do new prints and new designs and stuff. And
awesome.
I'm going to go from there. But I want to test this. They have a men's shirt and a woman's shirt and a V-neck shirt and a freaking hoodie.
A hoodie. I'm getting one of those.
It's pretty sweet.
Is it obnoxious to wear your own podcast sweatshirt?
T-shirt, yes. Hoodie, no.
No?
It's like when you get it, when you're working on a movie and you get the movie logo hat.
That's right.
And once it wraps, you can wear it. Right?
Should we also get director's chairs? Do you think?
Definitely.
Should we get baseball jacket?
Baseball jackets, directors. You can get, I was looking to like try to get mugs and stuff. You can get like, we can get like serving trays with the logo on it.
Oh, good.
You can get so much weird shit.
You know, Dave Anthony from The Dollop says that the thing they sell the most are posters.
Yeah. Posters. Gotta do that.
Yeah.
Posters, and we can do shot glasses too, which I feel like, I mean, there's gotta be a lot of college kids listening, right?
I would hope. What are they doing with their time?
I mean, studying?
Please.
Look at us. We didn't go to college. I mean, we didn't graduate. And look at us
now. I mean, I tried, but it sucked.
I gave it a shot.
It was weird and uncomfortable.
Oh, I hated it.
I really didn't like it.
It was triggering for me because I hated high school so much that it just felt like high school.
Mine felt like the opposite of high school because I went to a tiny high school and then I tried to go to Sac State, which was like going to...
Oh my gosh, huge.
A whole other city as a school. And I just felt lost and empty and alone.
Yeah, community college felt like... Oh God, it felt like I was going backwards in time because my school was kind of nice. And then suddenly it was like this terrible, like old school that was so sad.
Did it have those desks where the chair and the desk are connected?
Mm-hmm.
I can't, there's something so depressing about those desks.
Cause you can't move in or out and your butt hurts and it's just, no.
And it's like it's like a little clamp on you.
Yeah.
It's a school clamp.
It's a little prison cell. So look at us now.
Yeah, look at us free, sticking our legs wherever we want, up, sideways.
Anywhere. In our director's chairs.
Quit school, everybody. That's the one message we have for the children this week. Please quit school.
What are you?
You want my housekeeping?
Yeah.
because I have a couple things.
Oh, look at you.
First of all, we know now for a fact that at LA PodFest, we are going to be there on Saturday, September 24th from 9 to 11 in the ballroom. That's our show and our time. So if you're going to go or you wanted to know that specific news, but you can also live stream for a certain amount. I'm not sure what it is. You can watch the whole thing from the comfort of your home live.
That's pretty cool.
So go on to lapodfest.com and all that information, is there for you. They have a lot of great podcasts there this year.
I know. It seems like that's a pretty sweet slot. Am I wrong?
I think so, but because ballroom seems to usually be a good thing.
Yeah. What if it's just like, it's really this, like, that's what they call the janitor's closet. Also, what are we going to do for 2 hours?
We have to make up that dance now.
Oh my God. We have to do so much random stuff. What are we going to do for 2 hours?
I don't know. We might need to get a guest.
We're definitely going to get some guests to maybe, like, you know, people who are at the PodFest with their podcast can tell some hometown stories. Maybe we'll get some from the audience.
Yeah, we'll definitely ask the audience if they have any.
But we'll have a horn to, like, if you guys are talking too long, we'll just, and, like, get off the...
I feel like what we don't understand is that the average person doesn't really want to talk in public at all. So talking too long is rarely the problem.
But attention.
Yeah, but I think people like more a face-to-face attention.
Okay.
I mean, that's my theory.
Okay.
Because I could literally talk forever and a large group of people and be doing badly and still want to do it. It doesn't make sense. That was my first piece of housekeeping. The other one was the live dollop is August 16th at Meltdown. I think they're sold out, but they do stand by there.
Yeah.
So if you have some burning desire, if this is some great Voltron combo for you, then please... please try to come. I don't know if that's a good thing to encourage people to do. And then I just wanted to say to you.
Oh my gosh.
Did you know Burke Ramsey is going to be on Dr. Phil in September?
I know. And I've been waiting to freak out.
With me?
For you. Yeah. Because I've been seeing that. And I'm like, whatever, whatever. Even Vince was like, did you see that? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. But I've been waiting to talk to you about it.
I love that the day it was announced, I think I must have had 6 or 7 people tweet at me and My Favorite Murder Twitter. We had like 25 people.
Instagram too. Like people, we have an Instagram account and people will be like commenting on a shirt post. Like, did you see this? So here's what I think is going to happen. One of two things. Either it's going to be the most boring, basic thing. He thinks an intruder did it, or he's totally going to just go ballistic and say it was his mom. I'm guessing it's not the latter, but how cool would that be?
It'd be amazing. I did see one picture in one of the articles that got sent, and they're walking in an orchard.
The walk and talk?
Probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
Because that means they're two besties.
No, they always do the walk and talk, though.
Oh, yeah?
The walk and talk, whenever there's like an interview, that's just a thing.
Okay.
A walk and talk.
Okay.
But you think an orchard is a bad sign.
I mean, it just looked too peaceful and chummy to me.
You're not going
to
be like, and then she hit her over the head in an orchard. You're not going to say that in an orchard.
Yeah. Who knows? But here's what I will say, and I'm not going to name any names. I've got an inside source.
What?
I'm going to find out from my inside source if it's already been taped, if it's a taping live in a studio, like if the clips we've already seen are just a pre-tape that they're letting out footage of or whatever.
Fuck.
Because what if we went to the live taping of that show?
No, stop it. Oh my God. I didn't even think that's what you meant. Wait, what?
Would you want to do that? I'm going to find out from my inside source.
I didn't even know that's what you meant. I thought you were going to like find out what he was saying, but
No. Don't you want to be there?
Yes.
Because here's the thing I do trust in Dr. Phil. I just got the picture in my head. Did you ever see the Dr. Phil that was on the Sesame Street where they did a Dr. Phil and the Muppet looked exactly like him?
No, I love it.
That just flashed in my head and I kind of went away for a second. Sorry. I do trust that Dr. Phil doesn't give a fuck. So he will like confront like a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like it's not like I'm going back on what I just said about the chummy-ness.
Right.
Because now that I think about it, Dr. Phil will just all be like, why do you still live with your boyfriend who's a pedophile or what, you know what I mean? He doesn't care.
Wait, Burke Ramsey lives with a boyfriend who's
No.
He definitely asks the hard questions and kind of fucking needles them until they like they get nervous and then the real shit comes out.
Yeah.
So I think he's better than like a Barbara Walters because sure. she's super soft.
For sure.
On people. I agree. I can't wait. I'm totally going to watch it, but I'm like everything in life, keeping my expectations low.
If we somehow get tickets to be in the studio audience,
I will lose.
Should we wear matching outfits?
Should we?
And should they be our t-shirts?
Oh my God. Yes. 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 1,000 times. Yes. Please.
Should we dress like super weird, not twin sisters?
Yeah.
And freak people out.
Get our haircut.
Yes.
Everything.
Should I get a tiny bob? That was my 90s hair forever.
I want to say we should dress like pageant girls, but that seems in bad taste to say right now.
It does seem like that.
So I'm not saying it.
This fucking huge, the huge tiara trophy. Oh,
they would kick us out. We would get arrested for bad taste.
We do, like, that's like a intense drag queen move, is to like dress up as JonBenet.
Totally.
Ramsey.
Well, sometimes when I wear like vintage dresses to events and shit, I feel like a little pageanty.
Yes.
So yeah. I can do it. Ooh. And I have no tits, just like a fucking 5-year-old. Oh, so I can do this. Excuse me. I should not have said any of this. Oh my God. Going to hell.
It's okay. This is a private podcast. Okay. So here's part two,
okay.
Which a lot of people know, because a lot of people also tweeted us this information.
Okay.
Is that, Ingmar Guadagnino, who is the guy that was accused of murdering Chandra Levy,
yes.
is going to get released from prison after 6 years because the prosecutors are dropping all charges because based on recent unforeseen developments that were investigated over the past week. What?
I'm never speechless, but I'm speechless about this. That's insane.
Because whatever they found,
yeah.
whatever this investigation is, the idea that it got to the point where it gets him out of jail entirely,
that quickly,
has to be something incredibly definitive.
But didn't he also kill too? Isn't he suspected of, or did kill?
Rock and roll.
Isn't he suspected of, or killed two other people?
He did. Now look, I'm not celebrating his release because he did attack women in that park. That's the reason he was arrested.
Oh.
But he attacked women with the intent, I believe, to rape them. If not raping them, but. Basically he was the perfect person to arrest for her murder.
It's just that moral dilemma of like, is setting him free just going to fuck up the world even more? I mean, I know you can't hold someone for something they weren't charged for, but I hate it. And well, I want to know what the evidence is so I can know if I agree or not, but they're not telling us.
You're right. It's not exciting. He's getting out of jail because obviously he can't handle himself around women, parks, or screwdrivers.
Sexual predator.
Yeah. He's no good. And I'm sure jail helped him with that.
Right. As it tends to do.
But I'm just stoked that they found something. They were still looking.
Yeah.
And they found something so definitive. That means we're going to find out about it within the next month.
It can't just be a witness because it's been, 10 years and eyewitness testimony sucks. It can't be.
Witnesses don't get people out of jail, I don't think.
It can't just be DNA because finding a hair on the body doesn't mean anything, unless it can be linked.
What did they find?
Because wasn't she skeletal remains when they found her?
I can't remember. People talk to me about these cases that we talk about on here, and I have almost no memory of talking about them.
I know.
I have to re-listen to episodes.
I've gone like, I should do this murder, and then like, did I already do that?
I have thought of that many times.
There was one that I wanted to ask you if I've done, because I totally forgot.
And they mean the world to us, listeners.
Important things.
We love it.
I mean, I forget my own name.
I almost did one of yours. I was looking it up today and I was like, I can't find
which one.
Maybe your first. No, not your first, because your first was Martha Moxley, right?
No, my first was JonBenet.
Oh, okay. It was an early one that was a little more obscure. And I saw it and I went, that's so good. And I'm like, the reason you think that is because George R.
What if you just did it and then did it better?
And then said, up your game, girl.
Yeah.
That's
get
right.
It together.
It's a contest within a
I started listening. Like, I want to say just for research purposes and just for, like, quality control, but I listened at episode one from the beginning. Mm. But it's really just because I'm fucking full of myself and wanted to hear how funny we are. Sure. And I was laughing out. I was here. This is, like, describes me in a nutshell. I was shopping for vintage clothing, listening to my own podcast and laughing out loud.
Do you think you were laughing really loud and didn't know it because you had earbuds in?
No, because I'm really aware of that, but I was laughing out loud accidentally, like I couldn't help it. I'm such a dick, but it's...
No, I think it's very brave of you to admit this. I re-listen to episodes a lot because it's fun to do. It's fun to do.
It is.
It is.
And it's like, oh shit. I think you and I text each other on a regular basis. Oh, that was good.
Hey, that was actually good.
We're good.
Sometimes we leave this apartment and I'm like, we shouldn't do this anymore. Too.
Wait, what?
Wait, sorry, what?
Please tell me that's not true. Any more housekeeping?
That is it for me. Oh, just people have asked a couple times this week. The hometown murder email is myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. Yeah. Couldn't be easier. That's where you send them. If you don't want to or can't get on, people still say they can't get on the Facebook page. I'm not sure why. But if you don't want to go that route, just go straight to our Gmail. It's at myfavoritemurder.
Yep.
Easy.
Yep.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Are you first this week?
Am I first?
Are you first?
You did What's Your Face last week, and I think you went first. I also don't care who goes first.
Honestly, at this moment, I have absolutely no idea what happened last week.
Okay. You did Little Baby Karen, didn't you?
Mary Bell?
Yeah. Is that last week?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Listen.
No, last week was hometown murder.
Fuck. Oh my God. What is wrong with us? Is there a gas leak in my apartment?
We can't be that stuck up if we can't remember exactly.
I don't think it's us being stuck up. I think it's we have terrible memories.
Yeah.
I think there's a gas leak in my apartment.
Probably. I definitely have a terrible memory anyway.
I do too. So do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I'm excited about this one because it's fucked up. And I also really like finding ones that you don't know. And I didn't know. I found one that I didn't know. Purposely.
Where'd you find it? Reddit?
I might have found like a link on the Facebook page, as you do, and then just went crazy.
Oh, okay. Because someone posted a link that has all these Reddit links on it.
Ooh.
Or there is a post with a bunch of Reddit links that I was looking through today and loved it. It was so great.
Well, I did what I always do, and I go into the hometown. I go into our email and look up and like type to find if anyone has ever emailed us about it, just so I can add that information in. And
oh, nice.
No one has ever emailed us about this.
Oh, that's smart.
So who knows where I found it. Okay, this is the Durham family murders.
Durham family.
Durham.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start with the murders. So on February 3rd, 1972, is a stormy, snowy night in Boone, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And the bodies of Bryce Durham, 51, his wife, Virginia, 44, and their son, Bobby Joe, who was 18, were found crowded side by side, leaning across and into a filled bathtub with their heads under the water, submerged. There's a fucking photo.
No.
The autopsy established that though rope burns were evident on the necks of all three of the family members, the father and son were alive when their heads were forced underwater.
Wow, this really just kicked it off, didn't it?
I don't know why I started with the fucked up part, but here
we go. Well, no, it's okay. I mean, look, you got to hook them in.
Because the rest of the story I find amazing, and you'll see why.
Yeah, yeah.
So Virginia had been strangled to death before being plunged headfirst into the tub, but for some reason they still put her in there, or whoever it was. The bodies of Bryce and Virginia also exhibited blunt force trauma. Bryce had a skull fracture, and Virginia's nose had been bloodied before her death. And none of the corpses bore defensive wounds.
Ooh.
So then I wrote, who done it?
Okay, Angela Lansbury. Just typing away in your typewriter.
Who done it?
Who could it be?
So Bryce, the father, owned a local successful car dealership, and Bobby Joe was a college student nearby. The Durhams, all three of them, came home together from the car dealership, and it was a crazy stormy night. It was super snowy. It was like getting worse and worse. And a neighbor noted, saw that they came home around 9 p.m. So cut to 10 p.m., mm-hmm. I wrote. In case I forget.
Yep.
Allegedly, the son... Okay, so there's another kid. There's a daughter, Ginny Durham Hall. She was 19, and she lived with her husband, Troy Hall, a little ways away in a trailer. So, allegedly, the son-in-law, Troy, arrived home with a trailer where he met Ginny. And he claimed he spent the entire day at the library from like 5 p.m. till he got home. He says he came home to watch the Winter Olympics, and they turned the TV on at 10 o'clock, and then the TV was on the Fritz. So they put on music instead, they say. Then around 10:15, he answers a call at their home. He says that the call was from Virginia, his mother-in-law, and that she was whispering that three men were assaulting the family, and then the line abruptly went dead.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed he tried to call back the home, but it was busy. So he asked his wife, would your mom play a trick on us? And they kind of thought it was a prank, which is a real fucking funny prank. So worried, they decided to check in on the family. Didn't call the cops. Their car wouldn't start, even though he had only been in it like 15 to 20 minutes before. And they asked the neighbor, Cecil Smart, to drive them. Cecil Small is what I meant.
Cecil Small.
Small, who's now deceased, was a private investigator.
Ooh.
And he drove the couple out to the house. Side note, Cecil was also supposedly at the scene of the Kennedy assassination.
What?
According to him, he was passing by the end of the motorcade, and he saw a Hispanic man in the crowd with a poorly concealed scoped rifle. He was driven off course by the motorcade and came to an unfamiliar area. So he pulled over in front of the school book depository to ask for directions. And a passerby was heading in the very same direction that he intended to travel. And thus offered the calm, neatly dressed stranger a ride. And this man, Cecil avowed to his dying day, was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Cecil's a liar.
Cecil's...
So you're telling me, Cecil... Small, that you not only saw the shooter of President Kennedy, a different person, but then you also met Lee Harvey Oswald.
But you can also prove that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't do it.
Didn't do it.
Yeah. And now that I'm thinking about it.
And you're blaming a Hispanic man.
You know, okay, I just put this together and I wasn't going to add this in because I think it's in poor taste. But Troy says that Virginia says that three
black men
yes. were attacking her and her.
I mean, I'm sorry, but there's a from like 1969 and before, that's all anyone ever said.
Yeah. I think from the 80s.
Yeah, you're right. It's now.
You blame it on.
People do that all the time.
Yeah. So that I'm kind of putting those things together now. So they get to the home almost an hour after the panicked call. But they couldn't get up the hill to the home because of the snow. So they left Ginny in the car and they said, stay here. We're going to run up there. And supposedly they thought three men were in the house, maybe not anymore, attacking. And they left her in the car at the bottom of the hill. Yeah. That makes no sense.
No.
Right?
No. Also, I don't like three men. That's rare that that's the actual situation.
Right. But how would three people, two of whom were like able-bodied men, able to be overpowered without any defensive wounds?
True, it couldn't
have been one person unless you know, some people just comply when there's a gun in their face.
Yes, right? Like a lot of people do.
Yeah, even
I mean, it's the smart thing to do.
Right. All right. So they get up the hill. They get to the house. They entered the home through a broken garage door where they found the place ransacked and the water was still running in the tub that was full of the family. They skedaddled, I said. Which I spelled right, which is weird, and jumped into the car, intending to drive off, still not having called the police. The car was stuck, so they made it to a neighbor's, and they finally called the police. So police suggested the ransacked house seemed like a stage robbery, which I'm wondering, like, you hear that all the time. Are they, I want to know if they're ever wrong about that.
About that it really was ransacked in sincerity.
I feel like there can't be that huge of a difference between a ransacked because it's being burglarized.
I think when people burglar, this is just me talking off the top of my head.
Yeah, I want to know your opinion.
Okay. First of all, I want to officially change my old opinion too. I don't know why I said 1969 and below when racism is such a humongous problem in this country.
It came.
I don't know. But I'll go ahead to again freely give my opinion. When people burglarize a house, they're looking for valuables and they know where people hide valuables.
Right.
Good burglars want to get in and get out. They don't want to wreck people's houses. They don't go through every single drawer because they know that people hide. I mean, there have been studies about it where it's like people hide their stuff in a sock drawer. People hide their stuff in a freezer. People hide their safes behind pictures.
So now everyone knows where you hide your stuff.
That's right.
They come to your house.
My safe is behind my picture. So cutting open a couch or, you know, there's like when things are overly ruined, I think is when cops are like
furniture thrown.
Yes.
That doesn't need to be because there's photos of the house that's ransacked and it's like there's an ottoman like thrown onto the couch.
Yeah.
That there's no reason I've done that.
Right. And also you're just taking extra time as the burglar. Mm-hmm. That could be time where the cops could be on their way. Totally. Why would you stand around throwing shit?
Well, here's the fucked up thing about this that proves they're probably right is that there was an envelope full of cash sitting like out on one of the dining room chairs. And in the photo of the crime scene, you can see it. They had brought it home because they couldn't make it to the bank, after.
So it was just sitting there?
So it was just sitting there and wasn't taken.
So there's no need to put the ottoman on the couch.
No. It was a fake. I believe it was a fake ransacking, but I'm just wondering. You hear that all the time.
Oh yeah.
I wish we could look at photos of. I wish like how the 911 call we wanted to do, where like we listened to two that are real and one that isn't.
Ooh, that's one I'd be willing to do.
Yeah, that's one that wouldn't give you nightmares.
That one I would love to do, because who really knows? But it would be to understand how detectives and investigators have a sense of things would be fascinating to me.
Can any detectives out there please send us some crime scene photos? don't tell us.
Just sneak them out of the
precinct
evidence locker where the cocaine is. Sneak them out. Mail them to George's secret box.
Add a little coke in there if you want.
It's not a big deal.
I won't be mad.
People do it all the time.
I'm kidding. Don't do coke.
We all think it's bad.
Yeah. So, okay.
I'm speaking for Steven.
Steven wants the coke.
Steven hates coke.
So they say it seemed like a stage robbery. There was an envelope full of cash and nothing much of value had been taken. And shortly after, the car that the Durhams had at the house, which was from the car dealership, was found in an embankment, and it seemed like it had been placed there rather than crashed. Mm-hmm. And in the back was like a pillowcase full of like some silver, you know, some fucking silver. Nothing that...
Like utensils?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Something a rube robber might take.
Right.
A fool.
So, I mean, clearly my... Clearly the son-in-law... Okay, here's the fucking twist.
Okay.
40 years later, it's still unsolved.
What?
Despite all that evidence that clearly points at the son-in-law.
But what... Do they have, like, motive that the son-in-law...
The son-in-law has never been a suspect.
Oh.
And he's a lawyer now. So, all right.
Oh.
Here's what I think happened. I think... And Ginny was the sole inheritor. Inherited... $250,000.
Oh shit!
In 70s money.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's $25 million in today's
is
dollars.
It? Oh, like you're good. Wow, Karen. Oh my god.
If it's numbers, I'm definitely lying.
I love those conversions when they're like, "This is how much it is in today's money."
I know. I just read one today that was like $100,000 in the '70s. Ah, shit, now I don't remember what it was.
I believed you. I believed you in the way that when I have to ask you about Roman numerals, that like, you could say anything to me and I would believe you.
That I knew.
Yeah.
That I knew.
Okay, so.
I'll always tell you when I'm lying.
I appreciate that. okay, so I just think, like, he hired some hitman. If a phone call happened, it was the people at the scene saying it's done. And Ginny didn't know about it. And so he said that phone call was actually this thing instead.
Right.
Or the phone call never happened and she was in on it.
Do you think the neighbor was in on it? That it was Mr. Lucky at the assassination?
I don't know enough about him, but based on those two little details,
yes,
the blaming someone else, which I don't know, it was the CIA that killed Kennedy, right?
I mean,
And yeah, his getting involved in it and being a private detective, which I feel like you know more about how to commit a crime well.
Sure.
Than otherwise.
Yeah, you see it all the time.
Yeah.
I'll say this. What's suspicious to me that just dawned on me, why would that woman call her son-in-law instead of the cops?
And
when there are three men in her house.
That's a good point. And in addition to that, the family didn't like the son-in-law. They were trying to get her to leave him.
Because she was only 19, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were like against this marriage. Why would she call them? And there's so many instances in this whole crime that it's like, why weren't the cops called?
Wow. Yeah.
Starting with her, with the mother, which probably never happened. So that's why the cops were never called.
Yeah.
And then multiple times with the son-in-law and the daughter weren't called.
Right.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
And then, okay. They're still looking into it. There's a $40,000 reward offered. And someone said, investigator said, in my opinion, Mrs. Durham never made that phone call. When some people come into your house to kill you, they're not going to let you make a phone call.
Right.
Of course. I speculate. Yeah. Maybe the call happened, but from a hitman that they hired. And okay. I also want to give a shout out to, Jodi.com. No, wait. It's called I Did It for Jodi. Jodie.com. That is a really cool, like, true crime blog that had a lot of good information.
Is that name in reference to Mark David Chapman?
Possibly.
Tried to kill Reagan for Jodie Foster?
Maybe.
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry.
Jodi Arias? I've never seen you. What did I? You know,
just I could have. I think I got the name wrong. Was it Hinckley?
Hinckley.
I'm thinking of John Hinckley.
I never
that tried
even
to
noticed.
Kill Reagan. Mark David Chapman is the one that killed John Lennon.
Yep.
And then you just threw Jodi Arias in there for fun.
Facts, you guys. We're strong on facts. So you
know, we're passionate about a lot of different names.
I did it for Jodi.com. Good little true crime blog.
That's very cool.
It had a lot of cool information. And I fucking went all over the place with this thing. I was so fascinated by it. I just can't believe. Yeah. He
that
did
just
it.
Nothing.
But they didn't even, he was never even a suspect.
That's weird. It was a small town?
Small town, only unsolved murder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he still like, you said he became a lawyer?
He's a lawyer. He's still, they're divorced. She now won't cooperate with the cops anymore. She's like, I gave them all the information I could.
Huh.
Yeah.
What wow. do you think?
Was that anticlimactic? Do I ask that every time?
Yeah, I think you do.
I really do.
Well, it's always when there's no resolution. I mean, it's always just, it makes me want to ask 95 questions.
Which are the ones I love. I love when there's like, I love a good mystery.
You know what I was thinking about is that other one that you had that was from Japan or whatever.
Yes.
Where they killed the family.
Totally.
I think about that one all the time.
Who the fuck was it?
What
it's enough
why?
Information that it should have been able to be solved. That drives me crazy.
Well, the frustrating thing, too, is that it's not like when you're on this side of it and you don't know, you have it in your head that it's going to be some fascinating reveal.
Yeah.
And it's always like, oh, that guy.
Like, that's why. Yeah. I mean, that's why I like cold cases, because you can imagine that it's deeper than just the stupidity of some dick killing someone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you want to hear mine?
Absolutely.
Well, mine is pretty interesting. I remembered that I read this book called, let me see.
The Bible.
God, I love it. And I'm here to tell you about it too. It's called, Alone, Orphaned on the Sea, which is what I wanted to call my book, but forget it. Oh, sorry, Orphaned on the Ocean. I can call mine Orphaned on the Sea now. So, I got really into for a little while before I ever saw the show I Survived, which I cannot get on the Lifetime on my Apple TV. I can't get it on my laptop.
Oh my gosh.
I can't, it will not let me access, even for money, it won't let me watch old episodes of I Survived. And I think that's wrong and someone needs to do something about it.
We need, is it Lifetime?
Well, it's like Lifetime.com. They Lifetime, only have them on their website, I think.
You're missing out on a great opportunity for a shout out, and instead Karen's just disappointed.
I'm just mad. But I love all your movies. Anyhows, so I read that I was super in, I got into these stories of survival for a little while in the, I would say mid-90s. Maybe I was having a hard time myself. I can't remember. And I remember reading this book and being fascinated by it. And the thing that drew me to the book initially is on the cover of the book, there's a picture and it's just the open ocean. And then in the middle, a tiny white raft and a little girl sitting in it.
No, is it a photograph?
It's a photograph of the person I'm about to tell you about and how she was found.
Losing my mind. Can I look at the photo? Should I wait? I'm going to wait.
I have the picture on my phone for you.
Everyone go look at the Durham family murder bathtub scene, and then it's not gruesome except they're all dead. Oh my god, this little girl
alone, orphaned
on
the ocean. All right, so this is the story of Terry Jo Depereaux, and she was from Green Bay, Wisconsin. When this happened to her, she was 11 years old, and her father Arthur was an optometrist from also from Green Bay, obviously. She wasn't from a different area. And Arthur had always dreamed of taking a year off and sailing around like the Bahamas, basically sailing the world with his family. He had been in World War II and he had been in like the tropics. And so he thought that would be amazing, especially it was coming up on winter in, Green Bay.
Yeah, fuck that.
And yeah, right. And so he'd always wanted to basically live on a boat for like a year.
Okay.
And so his idea was he's going to take the family down to the Bahamas. They're going to rent a sailboat and try it out for a week, see if the kids actually like it or if he's just full of beans and then see where their adventure will take them. Okay. So they fly down to, Florida and they charter, a two-masted sailboat called the Bluebell. And they hire Captain Julian Harvey, who is a former Air Force fighter pilot, and an experienced sailor, and they have him captain the ship. And,
doesn't that seem weird to, like, be like, my whole family and some guy?
Yeah. Well, the guy brought his wife, Mary.
Okay.
So I think they were kind of acting as, like, the casual crew.
It was a swinger situation.
It was super key party.
Okay.
So... because this was also in, this was 1961.
Okay.
So they sailed out of Florida, on November 8th, 1961, and they sailed east toward the island of Bimini.
Bimini Boo.
Sorry. And, then they went on to Sandy Point on the Great Abaco Island, and the family spent a week there, snorkeling and collecting shells on pink and white beaches. They just had a gorgeous vacation, and they had such a good time that Dr. Dipero told the village commissioner, because they had to fill out paperwork to go back to America, that he planned to return before Christmas. So they were super into the sailboating family dream.
Cool.
So then they left and they set sail for home. And that night around 9 p.m., Terry Jo headed downstairs to her sleeping quarters in the back of the boat. Her brother and little sister had stayed upstairs in the cockpit with the parents. And around 11, she woke up because she heard her brother yelling, "Daddy, help." And then she heard stomping sounds, and then it went quiet. And she laid in her bunk, shaking and confused and not sure what was going on.
She's 11?
She's 11 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So finally, she sneaks up to the main cabin, and she sees her mother and brother lying in a big pool of blood.
Holy shit.
So she said the second she saw them, she knew they were dead. So she went past them and snuck up to the cockpit hatch, and she stuck her head out, and she saw more blood on the deck, and she saw a knife on the ground.
Oh my God.
So she crawls out of the hatch because she's trying to find her dad, and Captain Harvey runs at her and growls, "Get back down there," and pushes her down the stairs.
Holy shit.
So she closes her eyes, runs past her brother and mom, and goes back to her bunk and gets into her, goes back to her cabin and gets back in the bunk. And she lays there. She doesn't know what to do. She's obviously probably in shock, freaking out. Then she hears sloshing, and she looks down, and the floor of her sleeping quarters is covered in oily water. And she realizes the ship is sinking.
Oh, my God.
So she's afraid to move, but she looks up, and then suddenly the captain's standing in the doorway staring at her, and he's carrying her brother's rifle. And he stares at her for a little bit, then he just turns and walks away. So she lays in bed, frozen stiff, doesn't know what to do. But pretty soon, the water's up to her mattress.
Oh my God.
So she knew she had to get out of there.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
So she wades through waist deep water out of her cabin, out of her quarters, out through the main cabin. She goes back up on deck and she looks over the side and she sees that the life raft is already in the water. And Captain Harvey walks up to her and hands her the rope that connecting the life raft and says, "Hold on to this. I'll be back in a second." And she's in such shock and fear, she drops the rope. And so as he's walking away, he looks and sees that the rope is going and the dinghy's starting to float away.
God.
So he dives in after it and and she watched him swim after the boat and disappear into the night.
Oh my God. I have so many questions. Go on.
I stole that last line directly from the Reader's Digest article that I was reading about this story. I read several articles about it, but Reader's Digest was the main one. And I just want to thank them for being an American classic.
I miss that. I used to read this when I was a kid. That's all I read.
When
that's
you went to the bathroom at your aunt's house?
I didn't want to say it, but
it's all about Reader's Digest.
Oh man, cover to cover.
So, okay. So, it's an 11-year-old girl standing on a sinking boat.
Fuck.
Who's witnessed her family murdered, part of her family murdered. What does she do? Does she cry? Does she cower? No. She remembers that there is a small cork life raft in the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
So she runs and grabs it. And as she does, as she grabs a hold of it, and they don't describe this that much, but, she basically runs forward to the front of the boat, grabs the life raft, and by the time she gets there, the boat is sinking under her feet. So she has just enough time to jump onto it as the boat goes under the water.
Whoa.
So she basically went down with the ship and then jumped onto this little cork life raft.
Holy shit.
So now she's alone at sea in a tiny raft. It's 3 feet long. I mean, you saw it in that picture. She doesn't fit into it. She couldn't lay down in it. It's probably like, can hold her legs. So she has a blouse and pants on. She's freezing cold. It's pitch black. There's no moon out. She can't see. So she keeps getting hit with huge waves. And the salt water's getting in her eyes and stinging her eyes. She can't open her eyes. And she's afraid that Captain Harvey is nearby.
Oh my God.
So then it starts raining. So her first night out in the water, bad news.
Okay.
Anytime you're lost, you're out at sea, I wouldn't be looking for good news.
Although I wonder if the not salt water that it was raining down was helpful in some way, like she could drink it or something.
Oh, maybe. You mean hydration wise?
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you meant, I wonder if she was in a freshwater ocean.
Was she in a fish tank?
Did she go to Lake Havasu? Okay. So she wakes up the next morning. The sun comes out. She's not cold anymore. Now, of course, she's boiling hot.
I've seen Joe versus Volcano. I know what it's like.
Okay, yeah, you know what it's like to be on a raft. Sure. But his raft was nice.
It was pretty sweet.
It was huge, and he had that great suitcase.
Yeah.
Her raft was slowly disintegrating.
No!
Yes.
Sweet baby angel.
So she has to hang her legs over the side to float, like the plastic rubbery part that has the air in it is the part that's not disintegrating. So she has to sit on the edge and then hang her legs over the side. Then parrotfish come and start biting her legs.
What are parrotfish? They sound like dicks.
I don't know.
It sounds like they start biting her legs.
I bet they're the ones that you see in tropical fish tanks.
Yeah.
They think they're all big, but they're fancy colors and their teeth.
Fucking shark food.
So, that's her first day. It sucks.
the next day.
It's her first day. It sucks. It's the best description I've ever heard.
The next day she wakes up, her tongue is swelling in her mouth because of all the salt that she's taking in and no hydration. And then she sees a plane and she's waving. She takes her shirt off and waves and waves and waves this white shirt over her head. It dips down toward her a little bit and then flies away and never comes back.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
That was how she was going to get saved.
Nope. So that afternoon, she spots some shapes swimming in the water about 30 yards away, and she's scared to death because she thinks they're sharks.
Friend or foe?
When they come closer, it's a pod of porpoises that swim with her.
No.
For hours.
No.
And hours.
Never. No.
Now we all cry at the beauty of nature.
Are you? This is 100% we're sure.
Yes. This is from her. This is her book, Alone, Orphan of the Ocean.
What did they?
Because
I know, but like, how did it oh my God.
Have you ever seen those specials where they have children that have like brain damage or some kind of disease get into water with a dolphin? They do studies and their brain function improves when they're around dolphins.
Aww.
Dolphins have like a weird fucking children ESP and they know when something's in the water and needs their help. And they're beautiful creatures and you have to stop killing them. Okay.
So. Oh my God, that was amazing. I thought you were really crying for a second.
What if I was accusing you personally of killing them?
Georgia.
Please, with all your tuna. All right. Okay, so that night, the sea is totally still. Now, I'm going to admit to a half lie in this, because I remember this from the book. Mm-hmm. But I read this book almost 20 years ago.
Okay.
So who knows what bullshit I've layered on top of this. But I'm pretty sure I remember this.
Yeah.
That the sea, this one night was still, so she could see the stars like down to the horizon.
Wow.
And there was bioluminescent algae in the water. So it was all like, she basically said she wasn't that scared until the very end, because these cool things kept happening. And that was one of them, that she saw like that the whole ocean was glowing green. And then she could see every single star.
This reminds me of James and the Giant Peach.
Yeah.
Remember when they were in the ocean and the peach?
I fucking love that book.
I read that one, was my favorite book in the whole world.
Except for the copy I had, because it was from like 1979, because it was when I was a child. Mm-hmm. There was an illustration of James at the beginning that is the saddest picture of any child ever. I tweeted it one time.
Oh my God.
It's so sad.
When his parents got killed by a fucking rhino that escaped from the zoo.
Yeah.
Hardcore. Maybe that's why I always thought my parents were going to die. Yes. Because that was my favorite book.
Yes. Because Roald Dahl liked to plant those pretty early and often.
He did.
Be prepared to be an orphan just in case.
Which I appreciate to a degree.
He should have said, be prepared to be an orphan of the sea.
Yeah.
Because that could also happen.
Fucking okay. Tie it in. Go ahead.
So, I had to bring it back. That night, when she fell asleep, she saw her father peacefully drinking a glass of red wine and telling her, come on, we're leaving. Mm. So when she woke up on the third day, she was really sore. Her skin was burnt through her clothes. Mm. All her joints ached. She had been balancing on the edge of that raft, because almost all the bottom was now gone.
Yeah.
And she started hallucinating. She would see tiny islands with one palm tree on them and then start paddling. And then when she'd get to them, they would disappear.
Oh my God.
Sounds on the
like
fourth.
A Far Side comic.
I know. On the fourth day, she didn't wake up in the morning. She was losing consciousness. She was close to death. And when she finally did wake up, she woke up because she felt a shadow over her. And when she opened her eyes, she said she saw a huge whale hanging in the air above her.
Wow.
But what it actually was a Greek freighter that miraculously had someone had spotted her on this Greek freighter. And that's the person, one of the sailors on this ship took that picture that I showed you.
Holy shit.
The second they saw her. So that was her still lost at sea, basically.
Oh, and she didn't even know yet.
So the experience for her was a whale was hanging over her, and then she was being lifted in the air, and then she was in big, strong arms, and then she was asleep. And the next thing she knew, she woke up and she was at the hospital in Florida.
Big strong arms. And a whale.
And Greek arms. So they'd have that real good hair.
Yeah.
Real good wrist hair.
Shiny.
Maybe a pipe.
Probably smells like a pipe. He smells like a pipe.
He'd smell like a pipe. And he'd definitely water. Have a big beard.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Okay. This is just our fantasy now.
Yeah. This is a different podcast. All right. So she got helicoptered to the hospital in Miami. She was treated for dehydration and severe sunburn. In a week, she recovered with no serious injuries.
Holy shit.
But not so for Captain Julian Harvey.
Oh, hell no.
I was going to call him doctor. So Captain Harvey was rescued the next day by a lookout on an oil tanker that was headed for Puerto Rico. And when they found him, he had the dead body of Terry Joe's 7-year-old sister, Renee, in the life raft.
What? Why?
He told the Coast Guard that he had found her in the water and tried to revive her. And so basically, but the autopsy showed that she drowned. The story he told the Coast Guard was that the Bluebell was damaged in a squall in the middle of the night. And his wife and the Duperos were injured when the masts and rigging collapsed. He said gas lines in the engine room ruptured and the ship caught fire as it slowly sank. He said he'd managed to launch the dinghy and raft and dive overboard, but the tangled rigging had trapped everyone else on board. The police were totally suspicious, but there was nothing to prove otherwise. And then 3 days later,
oh my God,
Terry Joe shows up, survived.
Boom.
And when Harvey finds out that she survived, he killed himself in his hotel room.
Holy shit.
So, turns out they do some investigating, and Harvey had serious financial problems, and he had just taken out a life insurance policy on his wife, Mary.
Those fucking life insurance policies.
There needs to be more steps before you can just take out a life insurance policy on your wife.
Yeah.
Or husband.
Yeah.
Or children. The police theorized that he had killed his wife for the insurance money, but was caught in the act by Arthur Deborah, prompting Harvey to murder him and the rest of his family.
Yeah.
It was later found that Mary had been Harvey's sixth wife.
What?
And not the first to die while married to him.
Come on.
He had miraculously survived a car accident that had claimed another wife of his and her mother, both his yacht Torbatross, which is a terrible fucking name, and his powerboat Valiant had both sunk under suspicious circumstances.
Fuck.
They had all yielded large insurance settlements.
Jesus.
Turns out Captain Harvey was kind of a serial killer.
Oh my God.
Terry Joe was raised in Wisconsin by her aunt. She never talked about the ordeal. Her family told everyone not to bring it up in front of her. So she lived with this for years and years and years.
Does that seem mentally healthy to you?
It is not mentally healthy.
Yeah, you guys.
It's the worst thing you could do.
Talk about your trauma.
You have to talk about it.
Talk about it to someone who is trained professionally.
Someone cool and who's trained. You have to talk about things like, I mean, come on. I think these days people know that, but this was the 60s. It was Wisconsin.
Yeah. Press you it know, way down deep.
This is, I mean, that's, you know, that's what a lot of families do. Yeah. My family is very much like, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
We don't want to bother anybody.
Right.
So she finally went to therapy as an adult.
Ooh.
And 50 years later, she wrote a book with a survival psychologist named Richard Logan called Alone, Orphaned on the Ocean.
Oh my God.
And she actually took sodium amytal, which I believe is
truth serum,
so that she could remember everything. So she went all the way back.
So fucking cool.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's our girl, Terry Jo Depereaux.
I want to read that.
And she has an I survived.
No, of course she does. Really?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
But I didn't pick this one because I saw it on I Survived. Because the I Survived doesn't tell you enough.
They take all the good ones.
They really, I mean, they do.
That is so, I have never heard that before.
That's a good one, right?
Very good
11
one.
11 years old.
I think you won. Is this a game? I think you won.
It can't be a game. Please. Well, also, if it's a game, when you have a big Captain Harvey is a serial killer reveal, I mean.
Yeah. But also a girl surviving in a boat, that's pretty fucking sweet.
It's pretty goddamn cinematic.
Can I add that none of the hands of the family in the bathtub were tied behind their back?
Where were they tied?
They weren't tied, was what I, or like, So maybe they were unconscious from being strangled.
Yes, they would have to be. Because
there was no defense.
There's no defense. Yeah. There's no fighting. But their hands are free?
Yeah, but... Yeah. Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
No. Okay. I'm not trying to one-up you. I'm just...
No.
Remembered that part.
Please. Please. But also, you said the wife was strangled... But the other two had rope burns around their neck, like yeah. they were hung?
No, I think they were all strangled.
Okay.
There's like a, some kind of rope that would that they got at the house. So it's not like they brought these weapons with them, whoever right. killed them.
Right, right. This might be a good time to say, considering the fact that that guy's a lawyer, that everything that we accuse him of is alleged.
Alleged? Hearsay?
And not proven.
Speculation?
Gossip?
Yeah.
Podcasting.
Fuck, you're right. Shit.
Guys, please don't tell on us.
And that was the end of the podcast that they did. And did not.
Y'all
how they
ladies
thought
think
it would.
You're smart? You think you're funny and smart? Guess what?
Is that how he sounds?
He's from North Carolina,
that's
right?
That's true. Is that, yeah.
I don't know where that accent
is. No,
from.
I buy it. Well, that's some fucked up shit.
Yeah. Well,
Go to our Instagram account, Instagram.com/myfavoritemurder.
Go to Twitter, myfavemurder at Twitter.
Facebook page. Fucking hang out with us.
Hang out. Oh, but the one thing I will say
please.
Is now we're getting lots of recommendations. If it's on, let's stop pretending Netflix has a bunch of choices.
Yeah.
Netflix has like, let's say, 20 British shows.
Yeah.
We've seen them all.
If it's on Netflix or HBO.
The challenge to you is to find a British procedural I haven't seen. Good luck. And the person who suggested DCI Banks, I laugh in your face. Just kidding. I don't even think that's what they suggested. But I mean, I've honestly seen them all. Someone said I've seen them all, including Midsummer Mysteries, which really is like total grandma TV.
Yeah.
I've tried to watch that one too.
Oh my God.
But it's very grandma-y.
You love that shit, man.
I do. Sorry, that was just, I had to tag that on.
No, I get it. I appreciate it. It's okay. Kind of, it's sweet. It's, the intentions are sweet.
Of course.
But also enough.
Well, just give me something new.
Yeah.
That's all.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, thanks for listening.
You guys. Oh.
I haven't even asked you yet.
Yeah.
Have I?
You're jumping your line.
Do you want a cookie?
There he goes.
Okay.
Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered.
Bye.
Bye.